sing that verse, second verse. In His presence there is joy beyond measure, and at His feet peace of mind can still be found. If you have a need, I know He has the answer. Just reach out and claim it, for you are standing on holy ground. We are standing on holy ground. And I know there are angels all around.
I'm thankful to be in His presence tonight. I appreciate that. We've got quite a few prayer requests tonight. I'm going to ask Brother Terry if he don't mind to come and pray over these. But first, a testimony. Folks that turned in the prayer request, I think you'll remember, for a little two-year-old girl named Quinn who had brain surgery. The doctor said she would probably not be responsive for a few days, but within 24 hours she was able to respond to her family and speak. So we thank the Lord for that. So want to remember Brother Skip Walker. Tonight he's sick with a virus. Please remember Sister Victoria Thomas in continual prayer. She has a severe case of gout affecting her ability to perform tasks around the house on medicine, but it isn't working. She also requests prayer for her aunt and uncle. The names are Kevin and Mary Lou Hammond. Both have several needs in their bodies. And remember that need. Please pray for 4-year-old Ben Sawyer, who lives in this area. He has an aggressive brain cancer. After surgery and chemo, has been given just a few weeks to live. The family are Christians and trust God no matter what, but are asking for God to provide a miracle cure. So let's believe with those folks. Please pray for Brother Jim Hughes battling a strong respiratory condition. Please pray for Sister Aretha Cato's Aunt Ruby. She is 90 in very bad health. Her family has confidence in our church's prayers. And also pray for our 18-year-old granddaughter who will have exploratory surgery on Friday. And that's from the Dyers. So remember those needs. Continue to pray for Sister Becky Lynch's mother in Kentucky. She has several issues. Also pray for Sister Becky and her sister taking care of their mother and father. Another request, my mom is 81 years old, having eye surgery Thursday morning. She's afraid, so let's pray for her. Also, Sister Teresa Sellier is still battling bronchitis, been 2 weeks now, so pray for her healing. Sister Aretha McQueen has severe heart problems and will see the cardiologist Thursday, so let's remember those folks. Also, Brother Eddie Yontz said he's had a heart attack, facing open heart surgery, and he's not strong enough at this time, so let's remember Eddie. Brother Lenny will turn that in for their brother tonight. And I think one more request from Brother Bert here. Brother Kevin Keith wants to thank the church for their prayers, love, and support. Thank the Lord he does not have to have a pacemaker. So we appreciate the Lord looking after our Brother Kevin. If we stand tonight, Brother Terry gets ready to come. Thank you, Brother Terry. Appreciate it.
So happy to get to go back to church tonight. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we look to You, the author and the finisher of our faith, we count it a great joy and privilege to be back in the house of the Lord. We realize that we're in the very closing hours of time, but we're thankful You've still give us, we have a desire, Lord, to come back to the house of God, a desire to worship You, a desire, Lord, to continue on and to keep pressing on. As we sing the song, I want to keep pressing on. And Lord, I thought many times those that would be in a car race or any kind of a race or a marathon or whatever, they get down to the very last lap. It would be almost insane for someone that can see the finish line or the checkered flag or the breaking of the ribbon. It would be almost insanity for them to quit. And we're so close to the rapture. Why would anybody want to turn back now? We've been this way for years and years and years, and we're just about to cross over. Oh, God, how thankful we are that you've brought us this far. We know you'll take us all the way through. Pray for these requests, Brother Skip. You know his need, the little four-year-old, and each one that's been mentioned. I pray, God, and thank you for touching Brother Kevin Keith, bringing him through. Lord, he didn't have to have a pacemaker. Lord, the hand of God was with him. You guided the surgeon's hand. How we appreciate that. Serious surgery, but, Lord, you're a God of all serious needs. Lord, you take care of the small. You take care of the great. You take care of the big things, the little things. Everything that touches our life, Lord, you're the God of the universe and you're the God of our salvation. Meet with us tonight, Lord. Anoint the speaker. Give him revelation, Lord. Give him understanding. Give him thus saith the Lord. Let it be spiritual food in due season. Lord, let the ever-present water from the rock flow through our lives. And Lord, may our hearts just be refreshed, Lord, like a well of running water. Bless all that's done and said. All these requests I hold in my hand. Lord, and when we leave the building tonight, we surely will say, it's been good to be in the house of God. Because without you, it'd be just another meeting. But we know if you're here, good things will happen. For all good and perfect gifts come from above. Meet every need tonight, Lord, and we bless your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen.
God bless you. You can be seated tonight. Let's sing that God Delivers Again. That's an F.
While standing at the Red Sea, God's people began to complain to Pharaoh and his mighty army would take us in bondage again. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Moses cried, then God parted the waters and they crossed to the other side. God delivers again. Oh my God, delivers again. When it seems all is lost, he reaches down his hand. At his command, just when things look hopeless, my God delivers again. Sing it.
Never bow to your idols, those Hebrew children proclaim. So the king gave the command, throw them into the flame. The king said, did we not cast three men into the furnace fire? I see four men loose in the fire, walking around. God see.
Walking up the King's Highway. That's D. I think. Walking up the King's Highway. D. Well, my way gets brighter and my load gets lighter. Walking up the King's Highway. There's joy in knowing. With him I'm going, walking up the King's highway. It's a highway to heaven. None can walk up there but the pure in heart. It's a King's highway. Christ walks beside me, angels to guide me, walking up the King's highway. It's a highway to heaven, and none can walk up there but the pure in heart. It's a highway to heaven. I'm walking up the King's highway. Sing that third verse.
If you're not walking, start while I'm talking. Walking up the King's highway. There'll be a blessing you'll be possessing when you're walking up the King's highway.
It's a highway to heaven,
and none can walk up there but the pure in heart. It's a
brothers, if you'd like to come and lift the offering tonight. We had a couple announcements. Tonight is the last night to sign up or pay for the youth banquet. So if you haven't done so, tonight's your last opportunity for that. And tonight, I think Sister Sarah Yance has a song for us tonight. So let's sing that Wasn't That Love as she gets ready to come and sing F. Let's just sing that together as they lift the offering tonight.
Well, in the town of Bethlehem, God came down to visit man. Wasn't that love? Wasn't that love? He knew pain and loneliness as he wore that robe of flesh. Wasn't that love? Wasn't that love? Wasn't that love? How he left his home above to die on Calvary just to save someone like me. Every day I'm still amazed. There's There's only one thing left to say. Wasn't that love? Wasn't that love?
As he stood in Pilate's hall, he never said a word at all. Wasn't that love? Wasn't that love? He heard the mob yell crucify, but he knew he came to die. Wasn't that love? Oh, wasn't that love?
Wasn't that love? How he left his home above to die on Calvary just to save someone like me. Every day
Sarah tonight.
Strength to strength, we sometimes go, then again we're sinking. The shadow of a mountain looming high above our head, we need not fear what lies ahead, for the word has clearly said that our faith would be sufficient to make the mountain disappear. Speak to the mountain, you'll not triumph over me. Be thou removed from here to yonder, disappear into the sea. Speak to the mountain, speak with authority, and that mountain must move, and you will claim victory. In the midst of the battle, when the foe is gaining ground, look up and see the mighty hand of God. It's reaching down. Speak God's name and Satan trembles. Speak God's word and watch him flee. Once again, our God delivers. The mountain crumbles at our feet. Speak to the mountain, you'll not triumph over me. Be thou removed from here to yonder, disappear into the sea. Speak to your mountain and speak authority, and that mountain will move, and you will claim victory. Speak. mountain, you'll not triumph over me. Be thou removed from here to yonder, disappear into the sea. Speak to your mountain and speak with authority. You will claim victory, and your mountain must move, and you will claim victory.
In Jesus' name, we press on. Appreciate that song tonight. Let's stand, if you will, as Brother Donnie gets ready to come and bring the word to us tonight. Let's just sing this song together. In Jesus' name we press on.
In Jesus' name we press on.
Say amen to that by experience. Praise be to God. Let's turn, if you would, tonight to the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 23. Romans, chapter 8, verse 23. I want to speak to you tonight on the attorney of a godly man. The attorney of a godly man. Now, if a godly man ever gets in trouble and he needs an attorney, he ought to get a good one. As a matter of fact, I want the best. You know what? I don't even want a guy that just got out of school. I don't want a guy that can just quote. If I need an attorney, I want one that can represent me. And I have got the best there is. Now, this is not just for godly men, of course. This is for godly women, young people, all of us together. Romans chapter 8, verse 23. Not only they, but ourselves also, which had the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Can you imagine now? We're praying. We're commanded to pray. And a lot of times we don't know how we ought to pray. You ever been there? Plenty of us have, sure. For we know not what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us. Now watch how he'll do it. He won't take words, encyclopedias. He won't use great phrases or cliches. But he actually won't say anything, but just groan. And part of the mysterious part about this is, you'll never even know it when he's doing it. Oh, you had in your mind he was groaning through you. That ain't what the Bible says. He's doing the groaning. Now you and him might groan together, but this reference is not you. This is your attorney. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself, not him and you, him, the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So there's nothing being said.
Think about it.
You're just there waiting, and you're there. You talk to God, and you've talked out, and you know what else to say, and you think nothing's going on. But all of a sudden, he just starts groaning and groaning. And you think there's nothing going on. But in another realm, your attorney is interceding. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful tonight for this supernatural intervention that can be granted to the lives of saints. I pray, God, you'd make us more sensitive to it. Lord, I ask that you would help us, Father, to learn to submit into the supernatural channel by which you can groan and do more in a matter of seconds than we could do in a lifetime. Teach us, Lord Jesus. Speak to us tonight from your great word, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I don't know too much about attorneys. Don't know that many of them. But from what I've heard, depending on the crime that you've done or been charged for doing, there are certain people that are excellent for dealing and representing with certain types of crimes. There are certain attorneys that are renowned for working airplane crashes. So if your family member of yours was ever in one, there are certain men that they just studied this, and their expertise is being able to represent you. There are others that if you get caught up in drugs or get caught up in all different kinds of things, but the kind of attorney that we're looking at tonight is not for some type of crime that you've done. And it's not for someone that's actually, that you've done this crime and you're 100% guilty. There's no question about it. But if he can be able to present your case in such a way and leave out certain things and trip up the witnesses so that the witnesses will not have continuity in what they've got to say, And he's studied the psychosomatics of the human being and the mind of a human being and found a way to look at your armor and see you up on that witness stand as a witness and to be able to trip you up. Because you might be totally, 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 completely guilty of what they're accusing you of. But it's all in how that jury will be able to perceive whether you're guilty or not. So that attorney will study how to mess you up, how to work with your mind, watch your eyes if they're dancing, if they go this way or this way, to watch you if you do this on the stand, to watch your body movements. Then he's trained professionally to see that he's got you. So then he will be able to twist when the other attorney had already instructed you, say this, say that, don't look him in the eye, watch this, watch this, because this guy knows what he's doing. But you know what? I'm not really looking for an attorney that can move on the jury, since the judge and the jury has already declared me innocent. Since my judge and my jury are the same person. It's not like I'm looking for my attorney to mess up anybody's testimony. But really what I need him for is whenever I get in trouble and stress and duress and times that I don't know how to pray, and when I get down on my knees or I'm walking or whatever it is my body position is, but I don't know how to say it, I don't know how to approach it, but yet I have this promise that my attorney is with me constantly. Now remember, this is not the body of the Lord Jesus that I'm referring to. This is not the Paschal Lamb by which the atonement of our sins is made. But it is the indwelling presence of the life of that Lamb that came back upon you and I once we were sealed with the Holy Ghost. Now, this attorney does a lot of silent work. You may not even know or even conscience when he does certain aspects of his work. Now, parts of his works are vocal. Parts of his work, he will actually move from the supernatural realm over into your natural realm. He will actually take your tongue sometimes. He will take your human instrumentality and work the work right out of you. And then there'll be other times that he will do it himself and you're not even aware of what is going on. Now I want you to notice this is not given to every professed Christian. This is only given to a certain category that Paul called saints. Everybody that claims to be a Christian does not have this attorney that I'm referring to. But it's only those who are consecrated and set aside to the work of God. Now watch this in verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth. Now remember this word that we looked at a couple of weeks ago. The Holy Spirit, which is Ruach HaKodesh. So it is the Ruach of the Old Testament that in the beginning the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So here is the Holy Ghost in the office of attorney through Ruach HaKodesh, which is helping you in the time of great trouble. Now watch, likewise the Spirit also help us. Look at this Greek word. It means joint help. The assistance afforded by any two persons to each other, who mutually bear the same load or carry it between them. Now, our attorney is not going to come and get on the witness stand and going to do everything for you. But in this office of attorney, he is actually moving you over to where he will come under your load and help you bear that load. He will not totally eliminate the load. He will not eliminate the burden, but he will give you strength to where you and him together can groan and get it done. The word speaks of the action of a person coming to another's aid by taking hold over against that person of the load he is carrying. The person helping does not take the entire load, but helps the other person in his endeavor. Now, for us lazy Christians, we groan sighs of great sorrow right now, because we want the Lord to do it all. Lord, I can't do this. Lord, I can't do that. I can't do that. You see, I can't. Well, a lot of times he knows we're not being honest. We are not telling the truth. That we can do a whole lot more than what we want to admit that we can. But he will move you over just enough to give you and I strength that we need. Now, it's not help that he's going to come and take it completely over. So the saint must do his part in order for Ruach HaKodesh, in order to come to you. If you do nothing, guess what? You not only miss the blessing for your effort, but you also hinder Ruach HaKodesh from coming and moving you over and helping you to complete this task. Well, I can't do it. I give up. I quit. There's no need for me to try to. You know what you're saying. You're not just admitting defeat for yourself, but you are saying you do not want the help of the Holy Ghost. Oh, help us, Lord Jesus. Now, notice the spirit, the word that Paul uses here is a constant present tense word, and it means that he keeps on helping. So it isn't that he helps one time, but it is a constant ongoing help in this office that God does. Now here's a really nice example, I think, to open our eyes to this. Whenever the Lord Jesus was on the earth, and he's fixing to be crucified, and he tells Simon Peter, you're familiar with this, I know, in the book of Luke. He told Peter that Satan had desired to have him, that he may sift him as wheat. But Jesus said, I have prayed for you, that your faith would not fail. Now, Peter did not know that Jesus was praying for him. Maybe Peter never heard Jesus say these words at all. Apparently, he was totally unaware because Jesus wanted him to know. So here is Jesus in the form now of Son of Man. And he's actually doing this intercessory prayer for one who has a need. And the one who has the need is not praying for himself. And the one who has the need is not even aware that the intercessor is even praying for him. So your Jesus says, I have prayed for you that your faith would not fail. Now remember, this is later on in the night, in this same day that Peter denies he even knows the Lord Jesus. But the intercessor prayed that his faith would not fail. Peter failed, but his faith didn't. Jesus did not pray that Peter wouldn't fail. He prayed that his faith wouldn't fail. I don't know about you, my flesh has failed many, many times. But if I've got genuine revelation from God, it never will fail. Because that is a part of a believer that comes from predestination in God's genes. So here the Lord Jesus prays. Peter's not praying for himself. He's got so much confidence in his flesh. He don't need to pray he won't fail. He's done made the admission. If everybody leaves you, I'll never leave you. I don't care what John does. I don't care what Jim does or Terry does. Bless God, I'll tell you one thing. I'll go all the way with you. I'll not do it. You think a man like that's going to pray he won't fail? Absolutely not. He's got such confidence in his flesh. But the intercessor said, I've prayed for you that you wouldn't fail. And then he went on to say, when you get converted, strengthen your brothers. What a thing to tell a preacher. Now, Peter wasn't praying for himself. Didn't even know, of course, that Jesus was praying for him. What's this? Paul goes on to say, likewise, the Spirit also help us our infirmities. Now, notice what he's here to do. Friend, don't think that it's, you know, that it's not deep or it's not some great profound thing to think that we need to hear preaching about our infirmities and our weaknesses. Do you understand the Holy Ghost? Part of the allocation of his ministry in the heart of a saint is not dealing with your depths. The Holy Spirit is not just dealing with your great, profound understanding. Part of his assignment and his task in life is dealing with our infirmities, our weaknesses, our shortcomings. My, he loves our depths. He loves our revelation. But aren't you glad he don't just help you in depths? Aren't you glad he don't just help you when things are going good? This is part of who he is in our life as our attorney. He's constantly dealing with our weaknesses. Thank God. He help us our infirmities. How would you like for that to be your life commitment? For me. You was assigned to be my assistant in my infirmities. When I'm down, when I'm weak, when I'm sick, when I'm low. This is your allotment. Most of us couldn't handle it. But the Holy Ghost can handle it. Not only mine, but yours. and yours and yours. People in India, people in Africa, people in China, people all over the world. And this is what he's supposed to do. He's not only to quicken the word. He's not only to make you understand great, profound things. He's there to help you in your constant weaknesses. Now, one of the weaknesses that he helps us is, and that is our inability to analyze our situations. When we don't know how to pray. Now watch, he is said to plead or intercede with sighs that are too deep to articulate by words. So what he does, he intercedes in a realm or a dimension that is beyond human language can express. Well, it makes no sense that if I can't understand it, then leave me hearing it. Watch. He helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh, the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings. A groaning, a sigh, unutterable gushings of the heart. Unutterable gushings of the heart. It's not even just a drop. It's not a trickle. It is unutterable gushings. Praise be to God. Unutterable gushings of the heart. And the groaning notes the ardency or the strength of the desire by which your attorney has so moved into your needs that he's actually groaning with you when you groan. Lord Jesus. Now, let me make sure that you understand this. This is not talking about you praying in tongues. Or I. Nope. But it is the Spirit himself groaning, sighing. And if you pray and pray and pray and then you stop and you're still there in worship and you just stop. And if you listen and listen, unless God tweaked your hearing, you'd never even know it, that he's doing it in your heart. I used this example a couple of weeks ago. Let me refresh your memory. So if we're going to move this piano, three or four of us, five of us, how many of your brothers will come and grab? Somebody grabs on this. I'll tell you one thing, that piano, that's the awful thing I've ever seen in my life. Why in the world do they have to make something so big? I don't understand. Why in the world do they have to make it so heavy? Why can't they make it out of something? We're going to smack somebody. Okay? Three or four of us is... You feel like cramming that in that blabbermouth. Say, would you please hush and help us? Help us what? Help us grunt. Don't worry, friend. I ain't lifting. I'm just acting. Brother Dunham, what'd you have for breakfast? Would you please hush? Can you imagine when you and I was down? Oh, God. Lord Jesus, please help me. Father, I don't know what to do, God. Lord, you see what's going on with me, Lord. And all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost behind me is, And I think my prayer is the only one going up. I think mine the only one is being offered. When if my ear was entombed, he was grunting right along with me, Brother Jim. He was groaning. I was doing my best to phrase it in words as best I knew. But he was actually praying according to the will of God. Maybe I was praying wrong. I might have been saying the wrong words. Maybe my intentions are good. But I was saying the wrong words. But somehow he harmonized. And he was able to pray according to the will of God. When I wanted the will of Donnie. Don't you understand what Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane? Father, if it be thy will, That's the human temple. He did not want to die. Praise the Lord. Oh, I prayed that way and you have too. You might as well be honest. No. You imagine now the Spirit of God given to such a place. Paul says, the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Emotions that are too deep for utterance. Words that are so profound in the heavenly language that English, French, Spanish, German, none of the rest of the known languages of the world can even express the way the Spirit is speaking. Can you imagine that Paul here is telling us sometimes the most spiritual, profound prayer that is ever prayed? Not one word has ever heard. Now watch in verse 27. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. Now you and I don't have that ability when we pray. He, not us. We don't know. We can't search the heart. But the Holy Ghost, which abides in the heart of a saint, he searches the heart and he knows the mind of the Spirit. Now watch what he does. So he brings them two together. He looks at the motive, the objective, the intent, the purpose. He searches the heart and he brings the intent of that heart over to the will of God and merges those two together. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to one principle, the will of God. Anybody ever prayed things selfishly? Prayed for things that you wanted, which probably wasn't the best thing for you? Come on now, be honest. The Holy Ghost will never do that. The Holy Ghost will always pray in one direction, to the will of God. Now look at the harmonizing that it comes. So he searches the heart, the motive, the objective, the desire. I look at all of that and then I pull over here to the mind of the Spirit. Oh, this needs to be changed in the heart. That needs to be changed in the heart. And then he merges them together and he goes right toward one divine thing, the will of God. Can't you see why Brother Ben tells us that prayer is not to change God's mind? It's to change ours. Lord Jesus. Now watch this category of people that I told you that Paul said that this only happens now to one particular class of people. He searcheth the hearts. He knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Look at this word, saints. Hagios. Holy. Holy one. Most holy thing. A saint. Those who are devoted or consecrated to God. The words Holy Ghost and Holy Spirit. Holy is Hagios. So you have the same name as the Holy Ghost does. That ain't skim milk, friends. That's what I say. He don't do this for everybody. If you're not consecrated and set aside, and actually the Holy Ghost in you has so changed you that you are Hagios like he is. Praise be to God. Now notice he says, he searcheth the hearts. He knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. Because he maketh intercession for the Hagios, the holy ones, the consecrated ones, according to the will of God. Now the name saint It's not a person that's free from fault. A saint is not one that doesn't any longer make mistakes. And it's not somebody up in the Catholic Church. Paul was talking to living saints, not dead ones. I don't have to wait to be canonized by the church. I got canonized by the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Now, this word, of course, in the Old Testament was used to identify the Jews because they were consecrated and pulled apart from all the rest of the nations on the earth. So they were classified as saints, set apart ones, different ones. How were they different? By the way they dressed, by what they eat, the way they worshiped, the way they behaved. Of course, today it's hard to tell who what's a Christian, what ain't a Christian, because everybody claims to be a Christian. But yet they don't look no different. They don't act no different. They don't, you know, they live the same kind of life. But it is applied to a New Testament category of people that are consecrated, they are set aside, they are dedicated to be a bride. And in this consecration, they are hagios. So they are different from everybody else. I love the work of the Spirit of God in the heart of a saint. I love it when he takes a sinner and he takes an unconverted person. He begins to work on them through justification, leading them on to sanctification through the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But yet there's something about the work of the Spirit of God in the heart of a holy one. Now, the Spirit sanctifies all of those in whom he will dwell in first before he starts interceding for their lives. Now watch. The same Holy Ghost that intercedes for you and I, his first work is not intercession. No, no. That's through the blood of the sacrificial lamb. But his work of intercession is not for sinners. It's not for people coming to Christ to receive salvation. This work is only for sealed children of God. Amen. And he sanctifies before he intercedes. He first regenerates before he intercedes. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Watch this in Romans chapter 1, verse 7. Saint, of course, is a very common word used in the New Testament. Paul used it a lot. I love this when he addressed the saints in Rome. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. When I read this a couple of weeks ago when I first found this scripture, I'll tell you what, it just overwhelmed me. I want you to think of this. This is the largest city on the earth at this time. It is the home of Nero. Over 2 million people lived in Rome at this time. Every vice, every sin imaginable was going on in Rome. Can you imagine being called to be a saint living in Rome? I'm called to be a saint living in Johnson City and Elizabethan, and I don't know how bad they are. We ain't got near as many people, but it sure is a wicked place. But can you imagine God's power didn't say, the power of the devil's so strong in Rome. I don't know if I can find anybody down in Rome, but God said, call to these saints right in the middle of Rome itself. Children, do you understand? You are called to be saints. You're not only called to get the Holy Ghost, you're called to become hagios yourself. To all that be in Rome. Notice the titles now that he gives them. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God. This is their first title. Beloved of God. Now God so loved the world But John 3:16 does not say the world is beloved of God. God loves sinners. But you'll never find one scripture that says sinners are the beloved of God. For this is a title of endearment that can only be given to those who are part of your family. Oh, glory to God. This is not an invitation to a lost man. This is not an invitation to a lost woman. This are those who have found such favor in his eyes. They are called the beloved of God. His household, his children. Sinners should believe that God loves them. Hold on. But you should not believe, if you're a Christian, that God just loved you. You should believe you are the beloved of God. It ain't enough for you as a child of God to believe that God loves you, because you'll never move beyond that experience of fear if you don't. Now notice all that be in Rome, beloved of God. Called. Called to be saints. I wasn't called just to get the Holy Ghost when I was a little boy. I wasn't just called to feel His presence. I am called to be hagios. A consecrated, set aside individual. Anybody with me? Anybody here called to go with me? Then you were called to be a saint. Not just born one. Not that you became one by your own works. But you were called to be a saint by the predestinated mystery of God. Then you tell me what'll keep me from getting to it. And you tell me once I've arrived, what can ever take it from me? Heights, nor depths, nor principalities, nor powers, things present, nor things to come, are able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. I was called to be a saint. Watch this in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 2. Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. The word church in the Greek language means a called out people. Each church has two addresses. A geographic address at Corinth and a spiritual address in Christ Jesus. Amen. Happy Valley's got two addresses, 2733 Elizabethan Highway, and the other address is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Praise be to God. Don't you see, children, you have been called to be a saint. This is part of your vocation. What is your calling? What is your calling? I said, well, I'm called to do this and I'm called to that. You are called to be a saint. This was not just given to you. It fell out of heaven one day. You were called to be this. As I said, a saint isn't a dead person that has to wait for 500 years. This is our calling. A man's calling is his occupation in life. You know, some of you sisters here, you're called to be housewives. Your brothers called to be painters, called to be this, called to be that and the other. That ain't the only thing you're called to be. You're called to be a saint. Don't you understand why some folks will never live a sainted life? They're not called to be saints. They heard the call of salvation. Oh, don't go to hell now. Don't go to hell. Okay, I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to go to hell. I accept Jesus as my Savior. And then they hear holiness preached and consecration. Oh, I don't want that now. I don't want nothing to do with that. Feel sorry for them. But if you're called to be a saint, it is the highest calling of your life. Amen, my sister. You wear your hair, your dresses, whatever more. Don't hang your head in shame. It is part of your calling. My brothers, it is part of our calling. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now let's go back and look at this in Romans again now, chapter 8, verse 27. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints. Not Christians. Remember, Brother John read it to us here Sunday. They were first called Christians in Antioch, and they were already being called Christians by the time this was written. But he didn't say the Holy Spirit was to intercede for all Christians, but for all saints. Hang on. That's the only ones he intercedes for. You imagine a church member getting down with beer on his breast? Somebody getting down with lying on their breast? And they quote this scripture, the Holy Ghost will intercede for me. He never promised to intercede for that. Saints. Saints. He sanctifies. Then he intercedes for you. Watch this in 1 Corinthians 14:14. If I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. Now watch how the Holy Ghost sometimes will choose to intercede in a verbal way. Now watch that the Spirit of God can pray through individuals in an unknown tongue and bypass their understanding. Now watch, the Spirit of God then will take the human ability to pronounce words, but he will totally bypass their understanding. Why? Because he is speaking a language through them that they had never been taught. Had they taught this language, it would have come through the process of their mind and they would have understood the words, but the Holy Ghost totally bypassed their understanding. Sir, many of you have had that happen to you before. Now watch. He said that if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays. You mean a person's spirit prays and totally bypasses their human understanding. But my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit. I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit. I will sing with the understanding also. Now watch this in question and answers. Brother Bim said there's two different tongues. Tongues of angels. That's man in private prayer. Yonder somewhere speaking to God. Speaking to God in angelic tongues. Well, I figured it'd be quiet tonight, but I didn't hardly think it'd be this quiet. Now watch. So a person can get in the presence of God. Now this is not before the church. This is not in worship. To where everybody, it's interrupting worship. But it is an individual alone with God. May begin to pray. It may happen within 5 minutes or 10 or 30. Or as it does with me, I hear it in the distance. I hear it faintly way off. And it's getting closer and closer. And the closer it gets, the more scared I get. And then all of a sudden, it's like what I'm hearing then becomes personified. And then it's speaking out of me. But is that fitting? If I were to get up here and pray that way, and you prayed that way, and we all prayed that way, is that fitting for the service? It's not. Why? Nobody didn't understand what we were all saying. We're just all talking in some kind of language. So truly, people would say it was crazy. But now watch. So why would God use the Holy Ghost to break into angelic tongues? Why not just let me speak Spanish or French or German or Italian? Why reserve angelic tongues? Well, it don't make no difference to me what my attorney wants to speak in. As long as he's speaking for my good. If he wants to speak in German, so be it. If he wants to speak in Spanish, gloria a Dios, let him do it. Whatever he wants to choose. If he wants to choose angelic tongues, praise be to God. Amen. Now watch this. Brother Man said, I could call a case right now, but I haven't got time. You remember when the woman come to the auditorium there, Dr. Alexander Dowie from Zion, remember me down meeting, and Billy come down there to get me to go to the meeting. I said, Billy, go on back. He said, what are you crying about? Somebody been here? I said, no, sir, go on back. Tell Brother Baxter to preach tonight. I got down on the floor and I said, Lord, what's the matter with me? And all of a sudden I heard somebody at the door speaking other languages. It was German, I thought. Well, that fella, I stopped, you know, praying. I listened at him standing there like this. Cause I know the man that run the motel about 5 miles out of the city, you know. I had to get out there, so many people in a small town. Well, that's strange. I said, well, boy, did you ever hear that guy don't even get his breath, Harvey? See, I was thinking that. Hard as he was speaking, I said, well, what? Why, it was me, he said. Okay, so he's doing this, but it's bypassing his understanding, and he's thinking it's somebody at the door. I can tell right now some of you folks ain't prayed long enough. This is like a foreign language to you. Now you imagine that the Holy Ghost has actually, it's a saint's angel. A saint's angel has found Brother Branham 5 miles out of town in this motel. And this saint's angel had an urgent message. So a saint's angel began to take over the prophet. Now him though, Brother Jim, since it's bypassing understanding, he's thinking it's somebody over at the door and they're just speaking. Man, listen to that guy. He don't even hear him taking his breath. And it's him. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Speaking just as hard as he can. Speaking, why it was me. I just kept real still. He didn't say it. Just kept real still. After a while, he got through speaking. He got through speaking. And when it did, I felt like I could run through a troop and leap over a wall. And I went out and Billy was going out the gate and I hollered at him, wait a minute, come back. He'd been drinking a soda pop. He said, Daddy, what's the matter? I said, well, wait a minute. He said, just a minute. I'm going with you. I started washing my face real quick. And he said, what's the matter? He knows better than to talk me going to the meeting. He said, what's the matter? I said, nothing, not at all. Just go ahead and go to the meeting. We went on to the meeting. Brother Baxter was sitting there playing nothing between my soul and the Savior. He come in and said, whew, thought you wasn't coming. I said, shh. Went on up and started preaching. When I got through, about the time I got through preaching, well, boy, somebody like to took the back of the building. Back there, that big auditorium, they run an extension mic. Back there was a woman back there walking up and down the aisle shouting as hard as she could shout. Praise the Lord. Come to find out she had TB. Left the Twin Cities, St. Paul. The ambulance wouldn't bring her because it's afraid she'd burst her lungs. The doctor said anything her lung was like honeycombs. If they ever broke, she'd be dead. And some... some saints took an old 38 Chevrolet car and took the back seat and fixed it up and put her in there. Thank God for saints. Isn't it amazing? Now the saints done their part. But now the Holy Ghost is riding in the back of that 38 Chevrolet. And so is her angel. The saints have done their part. And the driver's doing his part. But now the attorney must step up and take the case. They hit a little bump or something another day and she started hemorrhaging. Watch. The saints have done their part. The driver's done their part. But now they hit a bump. And when they do, the woman starts hemorrhaging. Fixing to bleed to death. Now why didn't the Holy Ghost just start quoting the word? By his stripes you are healed. 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 Because that's not the only work of the Holy Ghost. My Lord. She started spurting blood out. It was going through her nose. She got weaker and weaker. She didn't want to die in the car, so she told them to stop and put her out on the grass plat. They picked her out. They was all standing over praying. And all of a sudden, she said something struck her. And up she got, and away she went. Lord, have mercy. I imagine some of you Baptists of Happy Valley, if that happened to you, you'd up and go too. My, something struck her, and up she got, and away she went, shouting down the road as hard as she could. Here she was at church walking up and down those aisles, and I said, sister, what time was that? Just exactly the same time the Holy Spirit was speaking through me. What was it? Gifts. He goes on down, paragraph 27, and he says, that was her angel. So here's Brother Branham minding his own business back in the motel room studying, getting ready for church. And all of a sudden, her angel. I don't know about you, but I don't have a whole lot of things in life, but I'm glad I got an angel. Oh, I believe I've got an angel. There may be times that you may wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, and I come on, your heart's so heavy, and you roll out on the floor and you say, Lord God, I don't know what in the world Brother Donnie's going through. It might be my angel that was sent to your bedroom for you to be able to pray for me. Can you imagine? Here's Brother Branham just minding his own business. Just called to be a saint. Don't you see? This is who you are. This is who you are. I am called to be a saint. I am called to intercede. I am called to go before the throne of God. This is who I am. How many times in that office right there have I counseled with people? And I've talked to them and I've talked to them and I've talked to them and told them everything I knew to tell them. And in the distance, I heard it coming. And I would say to them, can we pray? It's like a rumbling. That I could hear it. I knew where he was going. If I can just get still long enough. And all of a sudden, here he comes. And I start speaking in a language that I've never heard before. And all of a sudden, my soul and the soul of one or more of those individuals in that room becomes like a contact cement. And I know that he is praying the very secret of their heart. You say, we're in the Word. We don't need that no more. That is in the Word. I can quote them scriptures all day long. I can quote them quotes all day long. But don't you think the Holy Ghost knows how to be able to still speak? It's a crying shame, friends, that we still don't believe in the supernatural. Oh, I would never let that happen to me. Don't worry. He'll never even trouble you. He'll never even come looking for you because you quench the Spirit of God. And you despise prophesying, which the Bible tells you not to do. Well, preach, Brother Donnie. Lord, children, I don't know about you. I want to go to church with saints. Amen.
that if I was to be on the road somewhere and I was hemorrhaging to death, that there's saints, that the Spirit of God could come down. Amen! That the Spirit of God, my angel, could go to a preacher friend of mine up in Virginia or a preacher friend of mine in South Africa. And all of a sudden he goes to praying and praying, me thousands of miles away from him thousands of miles away from me. But God was so mindful of me that he sent my angel to South Africa. Watch this again in Romans 8:27. Paul says, he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now I want you to listen to one of the most famous scriptures in the Bible. But I wonder if we've ever really tied them together. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. You mean Romans 8:28 follows verse 26 and verse 27? I wonder if that's why sometimes when things happen to us, Romans 8:28 is not as real. You know why it's not as real? Because we left out verse 26 and we left out verse 27. But my brother, sister, if you have allowed your attorney open course in your life, then when all hell breaks loose against you, Romans 8:28 is not just a good verse, then you'll quote it like Paul, and we know. We're not guessing. We're not surmising. We know. How do you know this, Paul? Because I've been through verse 26 and I've been through verse 27, and it makes me know verse 28. It's the truth. Now watch this. Paul does not say that all things are of in and of themselves good that happened to you. Everything that happens to you is not good. Everything you do in your life is not good. Well, I wore a yellow sock to church and a green sock to church. Must have been ordained to God. Don't blame God for that, for your ignorance or color blindness. Or his brother Darrell come to church one day with a black shoe on and a brown shoe on. He was telling me about it the other day. He told Cheryl, he said, which one of these shoes you think would look the best of that suit? So he put both of them on. A brown one on one foot and the black one on the other one. Well, apparently she never did tell him, or he didn't listen. I'm not sure. He didn't tell me that, Sister Cheryl. Anyway, come to church. He's going to preach. It's on Easter. Big day. So he comes in and Brother J.D. walks in the door back there. I hadn't even noticed that I'm behind the desk. So Brother J.D. looks down at his shoes, and then I notice him looking at him. So I look over at him, and there's the preacher with a black shoe on and a brown shoe on. Brother Scott Hickson had just bought a new pair of shoes that week or a couple weeks before. So Brother Jim come back here shoe hunting for the preacher. So he went back there, and Brother Scott was willing to surrender his shoes to let Brother Darrell consecrate him to the service of God. But was that ordained of God? Absolutely not. Is every sickness, every difficulty, is all of those things good? That's not what the Bible says. There's many things I have went through in my life that's my stupidity and my ignorance. And some of you won't say it, so I'm going to go ahead and say it for you. Same with you. Now Paul, notice his words. And we know that all things work together for good. I knew the Lord loved me. I've known her for a long time, actually. But I knew the Lord loved me before I started looking at this a couple weeks ago. But once I started looking at this and really digesting the contents of it, I realized a little bit more how much He does love me. Can you imagine not just saving us, not just making us free from sin, but taking the things in our life and causing them all to work together for your good? Because some of us has got a bunch of things. Now, these things do not work singly. Somebody pulls out in front of you and hits you. You know, you got some kind of horrible thing. Oh my, Romans 8, 28. Oh, all things that this must be, it must be good from God. Hallelujah. Only thing good's out of that is when you get out of that body cast. Look, friends, if we're not careful, we'll blame everything coming and going on God. Everything in your life is not good. Every decision you make is not good. That's not the promise. But He says, I promise you this. I'll constantly have my angels working with one purpose in your life. That everything in your life, I will make it work for your good. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Oh, what things people mean for our destruction, it don't mean God meant for us to go through this or that or the other. What people purpose in their mind, I hate them, I'll destroy them, I'll do this and that, I don't mean that's a good thing from God to you. God looks at that and says, I hate that, but I'll tell you what I do. This is my covenant with you. I'll take the good things that I send. I'll take the good things from the angels. And I'll take all the rest of this stuff too. And I'll blend it all together. And when it's all said and done, every bit of it, I'll make every bit of it, I promise, for your good. It didn't all come from me. It wasn't my desire that you necessarily go through it. It broke my heart to see you suffer. But this is my promise. I'll mix all that bad with all this good, and I'll change it all. But don't forget verse 26 and verse 27. Watch this. Not separately, not singly, but jointly, as partners, as commingling, I will make them all work for one thing. Can you imagine every day of my life since I've been a Christian? I'll be 58 in July. Be serving Him 46 years. Wow. Wonder how many tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of things I've been in my life. Some were good. Some were bad. Some were indifferent. Some was my own foolishness. Some was the foolishness of others. Some was things I inherited. Things that other people intended to do to me. And all of my life, He's been working for one common goal. To make all those things work for my good. Now I'll tell you one thing. The devil can promise you a big time in getting drunk. The devil can promise you a big time in sin. He can promise you a big time in all kinds of different things. But the devil ain't got no promise like this. The devil ain't got no promise that everything that happens to you will work for your good. Why? Because he ain't God. But this is the promise of our Father to His children. Your plant shuts down and you lose your job. You lose your benefits. You lose this, that, the other. Well, I guess God worked all this out. God, I don't mean that God did that. But God will take that bad component. God will take that bad part of this and that part of that. And He'll mix it in the mixing bowl of your life. And God says, when I get done, it'll all work out for your good. It wasn't intended for your good. The devil thought he'd destroy you. But I made you this personal promise. The rank, the honor, the good, the bad. They all wind up with one purpose. You imagine the devils must scratch their head. I never planned on that working out to be. How did that happen? Ain't you got enough sense to know by now? I'm on the good side of Romans 8:28. I'm always on the good side. Whether I'm down, whether I'm up, whether I'm sick, whether I'm well, He's promised me He will make all things work for my good.
Brother Donnie, does that include what we just come through? That too. But Brother Donnie, I mean, that was, I know. But I lost some weight out of it. Praise the Lord. I'm 15 pounds lighter. Man, look out, devil. I get my strength back hearing for it. Was that God doing that? No. But He took it and mixed it up in the bowl with all the rest of the goodness and the mercy and the long suffering and the forgiveness and the prayers. Lord, have mercy. There ain't no telling how long it's been since my name has been mentioned before the throne of God in the last month. My poor mail lady, bless her heart, it's cards and letters from all over the world every day. She's probably thinking, what's he going through this time? Of course, she probably saw my picture in the paper. She probably knows. Ooh! I'll tell you one thing. I don't want to have to go through that again. I hope I don't ever have to go through that again, but if He wants me to do it, I'll do it. I'm glad my name and my picture is somewhere else besides Johnson City Press. I'm glad my picture is in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. And He will work all things to my good. And we know all things work together for good to them that love God. Amen. And to them who are the called. The called according to His purpose. Praise God. Aren't you glad you have an attorney tonight? I keep him so busy, I honestly don't say, hey, is he time for you? Think of it, friends. The entirety of your life since you've been filled with Him. Think of the tens of thousands of things that He's had to work for one common goal. For our good, eh? It's ever before Him. So when you're praying, He's there. When you're about to make a mistake, or you do make a mistake because you won't listen to Him. And then He's working and contemplating how to take this, to teach your obedience out of it. What can I do to make good come out of the situation? Just with my poor muddled up life. But with tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands
or how many ever there is around the world that has the same attorney, the same Holy Ghost. And He's doing the same thing for you that He's doing for me. All of us at the same time. And He don't never get a case mixed up. He won't get yours mixed up with you, or yours mixed up with you. But He keeps each case separate. And you're not a number, you're a name. Praise God. Thank God for my attorney. Thank God for my attorney. Brother Jerry Phillips has been suffering really bad with gout. Can't hardly walk, can't be in church tonight. Sister Linda wanted us to pray over this prayer call for him. I've been packing it in my pockets here. What I've been preaching about my supernatural daddy. There's nothing in my flesh or in yours that's any good or has any power to heal. But I believe the healer lives in my body. We want to join our faith together tonight for our brother. Any of you that's never has ever had gout, you know how painful it can be. If you've never had it, I hope you never get it, because it can be absolutely terrible. Let's just pray for our brother that God will help him. Lord Jesus, I know Brother Jerry's heart. He'd love to be here in church tonight. But Father, unable to get about because of this gout. Lord, I guess the doctor said it's uric acid that builds up in the body and causes it to form these places. I remember several years ago, Lord, when I had it. Oh, how terrible it was, Father. Just indescribable pain. But Heavenly Father, we join our faith tonight in the promise of Your Word. Oh, Jesus. You said in Your Word, if any two on earth agree as touching one thing, it shall be done. Again, You said, hitherto You've asked nothing in My name, but ask, and you shall receive. Again, it is written, if you say to this mountain, be thou removed, and not doubt in your heart, you shall have what you say. Again, it is written, if you abide in Me and My words abide in you, then ask what you will. Again, it is written, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He will give thee the desires of thine heart. Again, it is written, by His stripes we are healed. Again, it is written, hallelujah, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. Lord Jesus, make our brother well. Maybe there's others here tonight, Lord, that are sick. I know we've had so much sickness going on here in the church. So many things that are going on. Lord, Brother Kevin Keith's having surgery. Dear God, we're just praying for a full recovery for our brother. Lord, Sister Donna having surgery yesterday. We're just praying for Your strength and mercy to our sister. Dear God, Brother Ed Yons, you see the situation, Lord, in his body. I ask You that You'd move for him. Lord, others here tonight, Father, that we have needs. We believe that same Holy Ghost is right here tonight, Lord God. And You're not just limited to the four walls of this room, but those that are streaming down in Georgia, or those, Lord, to be streaming over in Washington or out in Arizona or up in Virginia, wherever they are, Lord God, as Your children, we join our faith together in the promise of Your Word. And we say, we know You will make all things work together for our good. I pray, Lord, if we don't get nothing else out of this service but that tonight, may we walk out of here tonight with that confidence, knowing that when the bad times come, when difficulties come, You will take that in the contents of our life, and You will merge it together, and You will make it work for our good. Grant it, Lord God. Grant it, Lord God. In Jesus' name. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Now, Rebecca, you remember your shadow, don't you? You remember your shadow in Genesis 24? When your prophet shadow was sent to get you? And he had said to the damsel, to the maiden, that I say, give drink to the camels. And she'll respond back and say what the tapes say. And she come out and said exactly what the prophet had prayed.
Little did she know, them camels that she was watering was going to be the same camel that was going to pack her to Isaac. The prophet said, when we come in, we worship and praise and all that. He said, we're giving water, we're giving praise to the Holy Spirit. The very Spirit of God that will change your body is living in it tonight. You know what you're doing, Rebecca? You're pouring that fresh water of the Holy Ghost, that water of praise over in the trough, and your Holy Ghost is just bathing. Oh, hallelujah. And that presence of your praise. And you are watering the very thing that is going to change you back to a young man or a young woman. Praise God. Pardon me while I draw a little water. I love you, Lord Jesus. I worship you. Ruach HaKodesh. Don't just heal through me. Don't just speak through me. Talk through me. Groan through me. Assure me in my trials of Romans 8:28. May it be more than a wonderful passage, because I've been alone with you in verse 26 and verse 27. May I be able to say, I know. I know he will take this terrible thing and somehow work it to my good. Satan thought to do me evil by it. He thought to destroy me. And as an individual ingredient, it looks terrible. But mixed in with goodness and mercy and peace and joy and happiness, my Father will mix it up in the mixing bowl of my life. Hallelujah to God. And he will make all things work together for the good to them who love the Lord, who are the called according to his purpose. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, let's worship him a little. My, I hear it in the distance. Lord God, let's just worship him a little, children. I know you got work tomorrow and your children's got school and all that. But let's just worship him just a little before we go. Praise God. Oh, how you ought to love your attorney. Praise God. Not the attorney for your sins now. Not the attorney with the atonement. But that one that reaches up under your load and says, move over a little bit and I'll help you carry this load. Groan, go ahead. I'll groan with you. With groanings which cannot be articulated. Hallelujah. Purchase my salvation. Oh. Lord Jesus, hallelujah, hallelujah. Close your eyes now. Let's raise our hands just for a few moments. I love you because he first. Yes, Lord. And purchase my salvation on Calvary.
And the saints said, amen. God bless you, saints. Go in the fear of God. Lord willing, I'll see you again this weekend. Let's come expecting the presence of God. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Sing it as we go. All night.